What's up, everybody? I'm still Neil Watkins. Thanks for checking out Hey, We Gotta Talk. What we hope is a faithful attempt to have formative conversations talking about church life and church life throughout the Florida Conference. I'm still thankful that you're taking the time to listen to this conversation, and if you don't like it, I'll be grown up enough to say, hey, give it a few more chances. Seriously, let's talk about what you want to talk about. So if there's something going on in the life of your ministry worth sharing, analyzing, or discussing, send me an email and let's do it. Hey, we gotta talk. If you do get something out of this conversation, be sure to subscribe so that you can get the latest updates. Feel free to share. And if you're really burning, my mother's email address is debwatkins@bellsouth.net. Seriously, she'd love to hear from you. I'm really excited to share today's conversation with you. This month's episode features a conversation with Uriel Zelaya Perez. Uriel is the National Faith Co-Coordinator. He is the National Faith Co-Coordinator for the Alliance of Fair Food, which is like five acronyms in one, and it still doesn't do the man justice. Uriel is in Immokalee, Florida, working closely with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, and he'll be sharing today about upcoming mission opportunities with the CIW, more about what the AFF is, and what he has come to love about the Florida Conference. Seriously, at the end, Uriel drops some scripture on us, and actually gets back into where we began in the conversation, which is what he loves about the Florida Conference and how his relationship with several folks in the conference opened up his understanding, reopened his understanding as to what it means to be a Christian. So I hope you'll be able to take the time to listen all the way through, and because of the time-sensitive information and the urgency of the conditions that Uriel shares only a little bit about, I hope you'll be in touch soon. Seriously, we've got to talk. Enough of me. Here it is. Let's get him get to talking. Uriel, thank you for joining and having a conversation today. This is obviously not the first time that you and I have talked. Also not the first time that you've had an opportunity to share some information with members of our conference. But let's pretend that it is for at least a few of the listeners. My mom and a couple of her friends might be listening. So I want to welcome you and thank you first for just being willing to spend a few minutes of your time joining me. From where are you today?
We're in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay. All right. And you, we is you and who?
So myself at the moment, Leo is going to be joining me in a few days. He's a farm worker member of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Right now we're mostly gearing up for the major action that's going to be happening, which is for Fair Food Tour. It's kind of a tongue twister, where Immokalee farm workers are going to be traveling to these four different cities and four different universities to pressure these universities to stop doing business with Wendy's and cut their contracts with them. And so that's just a quick context of where I'm at.
Sure. And that for Fair Food is the reason why we're kind of rushing to make sure this conversation gets out in a way that might get some good information to people that might be interested in joining the cause. So we'll be talking about that a bit. But by way of introduction, could you share about your first exposures to the Florida Conference of the United Church of Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. So personally, I've been working with the CIW ever since I was a student at the University of Florida. So I'm here in my old stomping grounds. And I think it was definitely through the coalition that I first even found out that there was such thing as the United Church of Christ.
Okay.
Growing up, myself, my parents are both from Nicaragua and Spanish speaking. We often don't know too many different denominations. I grew up evangelical, and you know, the other ones we know are like Catholics and Jehovah's Witness and stuff. We're not too often in the loop of the other different Christian denominations. And so it wasn't until I got involved with the work of the CIW that I found out that there was such thing as the United Church of Christ. And then that I found out that they have been really supportive of CIW since the 90s. So since CIW even started.
Yeah, I appreciate you always being willing to share that story every time we talk. I think that's an important reminder that some of the work and the presence that we have, the work we do, the presence we share, it is still unknown to so many that just assume that Christianity is one way, and
right.
and that way is so often different than, you know, the way we choose. But anyway, now then, again, continued introduction. Could you explain to us what the Coalition of Immokalee Workers is?
Yeah, sure. So the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, got to start with some history, started in 1993. And it's a farm worker human rights organization led and made up of farm workers themselves. Now, back in the 90s, most of the farm workers were farm workers from Mexico, from Guatemala, and from Haiti, often many of them indigenous farm workers as well from some of these areas. And what was happening at the time is that they were seeing that there was all types of rampant abuse, and it didn't matter what your background was, but you were suffering similar conditions. Now, by abuse, we mean instances of wage theft. So you work a certain amount of hours, you go get your paycheck on Friday, and it's significantly less than what you thought. Anytime there was any instance of, say, a boss insulting you, if you ever stood up to yourself, there was instances of physical violence by part of supervisors and crew leaders. There was rampant gender-based violence, which continues even till this day, at a rate of like 80%. So 4 out of every 5 farm worker women experiences that. And then some of the most...
I'm sorry. Could you say that again? Could you say that again, please?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of gender-based violence, 4 out of every 5 farm worker women experiences sexual violence in the fields. That's now women that speak up and have told that they experienced that. So what that often means in terms of statistics is that number is probably high, higher than 80%, if you can even imagine that. And so that's a reality that farm worker women were facing day in and day out when they were working and trying to put food on their families' tables. But besides that, there's also, at that time, Immokalee was known as ground zero for modern-day slavery. There was instances of debt peonage where workers were essentially put into debt. You know, the crew leader or supervisor or whoever would tell them, oh, you have to pay me a certain amount of money for housing you, for transportation, and that amount of debt was never enough to be paid off, and so they would continue working. And that was the reality for some of the workers in Immokalee. And so from that is where the CIW sprang up. And very early on in this story, people of faith come in. Because it was actually a Catholic church, a Guadalupe church, a Catholic church in Immokalee that ended up opening up their space to have CIW meet and talk about and share their experiences and brainstorm. How can we change this reality? Because this isn't fair. This isn't justice. And we got to be treated like humans. Mm.
Wow. Okay. Could you share, you've alluded to the fact that the Florida Conference has been working with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers for some time. You probably know more about that than I do, so I defer to you. For those of us that are joining the conversation at this point, what sort of history are we walking into in terms of a partnership between the Florida Conference and the CIW?
I mean, I think it's one of the richest histories in terms of communities of faith that have been supportive. There's a few names that I think need to be mentioned here. I think Reverend Jim Bowler is someone who was there from the start. I mean, was very aware of the Immokalee workers and helped connect them to other faith communities to share that experience and to come out and to put their faith into practice and support the work of the Immokalee workers. Reverend Bernice Powell Jackson has been supportive of CIW for many, many years. And I think that support has taken many different shapes, right? So it's been a matter of allowing the workers to come to your congregation to share their lived experience with your congregation. It has been marching alongside CIW for sometimes even hundreds of miles, and especially in those early days. Obviously, financial contributions, anything in terms of giving, opening your doors and giving farm workers a meal during any stop. That has been the sort of way in which the UCC has been involved, and many different faith communities have been involved. But one thing that's worth highlighting is that in the early years when the CIW was transitioning away from focusing on growers and on farmers, right, seeing that they didn't really have a lot of power in the industry and started shifting to corporations, and that first corporation was Taco Bell, the first national denomination to endorse the then Taco Bell boycott was the United Church of Christ. That was back in the early 2000s. So it's a partnership that has existed for quite some time.
Thank you for that. I want to draw out one of the things I hear you saying here, because I think it's important. I think many of us in the conference know that there's been a history of partnership. And I would suggest that there might be some newer to the conversation that might be reluctant to join in on some of the faces that they've read about because of the congregations they represent and their newness to the conversation, or their area and their region in the state and the nuances that their ministry might require. But I'd like to just ask you to share a little bit more about what partnership might look like that's beyond some of the advocacy work in terms of also moving towards opportunities for conversation. I happen to know, which is probably why I'm leading you into this answer, but I happen to know that you spent some time with members of the coalition going to speak to congregations that weren't necessarily ready to hop on board with actions, but interested enough to learn. Can you talk a little bit more about the opportunities that exist in the conference, where you're at and what you all have been doing in terms of just helping get some information to members of our congregations that explain right. at least what it is we're doing or why it is many of us are doing.
Right, definitely. I think in terms of, you know, going into congregations that might not necessarily or might at first seem as if they wouldn't be receptive, I think one of the beautiful things about the CIW is the humanity aspect of it and the fact that there's a human connection to it, right? So often when we go to a store, when we go purchase our food, we just get the ingredients, we go in there, we pay our money, and we leave, right? And it becomes really transactional in that way, in that we don't necessarily think a bit deeper about what was that relationship, like what were the conditions that lettuce, that tomato, that bread, that any of those things that got to my plate, what were the conditions which that came from? I mean, I think when the CIW goes into these spaces, into these different congregations, it puts a face. It goes from a situation where you just think of a product to a situation where you see a fellow human being telling you about problems and issues that often you're not aware of. I think I'm going to not quote, but I'm going to recount some of the words by Bernice Powell Jackson in terms of this, which was, I think if, and this is also a little glimpse into my personal faith. But I think if Bernice mentioned, if you're practicing ministry in the state of Florida and you don't know about the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, then you're not doing it right. you gotta make sure to know about the CIW. And that's because I think our faith demands that we know about the marginalized, about those who are in need, about those that seek justice and are fighting for it. And I think that the CIW and many members of the United Church of Christ have understood that and have come to see this as a really unique opportunity, not just a partnership, but literally joining each other and changing the world and making it a better place. I think that's something that really creates a deep relationship. But in terms of more tangible things, I think what congregations have done is open up those doors, right? To bring farm workers that, although, for example, we may live 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours away, it honestly seems like they could be worlds apart in terms of how different Immokalee community is to one's own faith community and just community in general. And so I think that is and always is, I think, one of the most powerful experiences, to bring the farm workers to share that experience, but then to understand the concept of what the CIW is asking for, which is that they're not asking for charity, and they're not asking for pity. What they're asking you is to come out and support. One of the formulas that they often use is this equation called C plus C equals C. And now, if I'm sure a lot of people that know CIW have heard that, but the equation stands for consciousness, right? So being aware of something plus commitment equals change. It's not going to be simply consciousness. It's not going to be simply becoming aware of something, but you have to also commit to it, understand the difference and the change that is possible to really bring about that change. And I think that's something that a lot of people have come to accept and understand.
Great. So let's make that point together. Thank you for sharing that. To those new to the conversation, Mom and her neighbors at Vista Harbor Retirement Community, we're going to be talking about some specific actions that are going on because that's where we're at in the timeline. But that's not to say that there isn't opportunity and desire for conversations that are happening or need to happen or could be happening on a more entry level basis. So we'll share your information at the end as we're talking about this. But please, if you're listening, let's not be afraid to have the conversation beyond just a theological issue and a political justice issue. This is a humanitarian issue. These are our neighbors we're talking about, and rather less spend less time talking about and more time talking to and talking with. So thank you for that, Uriel. One more point of introduction, and then I'm going to ask you to share where you are and what you're doing. What's the difference between the Alliance for Fair Food and the Coalition of Immokalee Workers? Where do you find yourself in that, and what exactly is the Fair Food Alliance?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. So this is where we bore folks with acronyms and stuff.
We know nothing about acronyms in the East.
right. Which is definitely something that the faith community knows very well. So the CIW, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, is a farm worker organization made up of farm workers themselves. And so they organize their own community and organize their own fellow farm workers. Now, the Alliance for Fair Food is a separate organization that works in collaboration with the CIW, but it's an organization made up of the different ally groups of the CIW. Now, by that, I mean faith communities. So we have faith coordinators who reach out to local congregations and to national denominations and tell them to plug in and support, and this is how they can, you know, be involved in the campaign of the CIW. There's two student coordinators. So there's the Student Farm Worker Alliance within the Alliance for Fair Food. That is the same thing. It's coordinating with students across the country that support the work of the CIW as well. And then all of those people in between, right? So folks in community groups, labor groups, all sort of stuff. That's what the Alliance for Food encompasses. It's the ally group to the coalition.
Okay. And what has the Alliance been doing in the past year or two?
Yeah. So I think that brings us a little more to the campaign that's currently on right now, just for some context, you know, the CIW has taken on 14 corporations and one in terms of demanding that they subscribe to three demands. The first, that they pay one penny more per pound of tomatoes that they purchase. That penny go directly to the farm workers as an added bonus. Many people are familiar with the CIW through that one penny more per pound. And what just to make aware, that one penny more per pound has equaled more than $30 million that have gone to the pockets of farm workers. So it's working. That's an extra 20, an extra 30, 40, $50 in a farm worker's pocket by the end of the week. Now, on top of that, the second demand is that each corporation signed a legally binding agreement where they state that they will only purchase from farms participating in the CIW's Fair Food Program and that have mechanisms in place to ensure that workers' rights are being protected, right? And that includes a zero tolerance policy for gender-based violence, a zero tolerance policy for modern day slavery. Now, what does that mean in practice, right? So let's say that there's an instance where there's a farm who's participating in the program where a worker is, say, physically assaulted. Now, the Fair Food Standards Council, which is the monitoring body of the Fair Food Program, investigates and finds out, yeah, indeed, one of the crew leaders for a farm, whatever, did indeed physically assault a farm worker. And then they say, you must fire this crew leader because there's zero tolerance policy for this. But let's say the farm says, oh, well, you know, I've been doing business for 15, 20 years with this person. I'm not going to let them go. Then the Fair Food Standards Council reaches out to the corporations and says, hey, Taco Bell, hey, McDonald's, hey, Whole Foods, hey, Walmart, you have to cease doing all business with this farm until they do the right thing. Now, that puts significant pressure on a farm, and they're going to do the right thing because they don't want to lose the business of these enormous corporations. And so there's an incentive, there's a market consequence where the right thing to do also becomes the financially economic correct thing to do as well. But the third thing, and perhaps most important demand, is that in this mechanism, that the farm workers themselves have a role in implementing it, right? So the farm workers themselves create the code of conduct, but they also implement it. And what we mean by that is that, first of all, that they're educated and that they're aware of the protections that they're entitled to. It's not good to have something on paper and not know, you know, that you're entitled to that thing. So the farm workers get educated on their rights. But on top of that, the burden comes on them to be that first line of protection of themselves, that they know their rights, that they know where they can go if those rights are being infringed upon, that their participation is essential for the work of the Fair Food Program. And that's the third demand. Now, with that being said, 14 corporations have signed on to that. But the latest corporation that has been one of the toughest in terms of wanting to join this has been Wendy's. In the past couple of years, we've pressured Wendy's to join the Fair Food Program and to join us in changing this industry from one where there was rampant abuse to one that is now being recognized by the United Nations as one of the top agricultural industries in the world, if not the top. And when we went and told them that, they actually shifted all of their purchasing to Mexico, where we know that there was rampant instances of child labor, of gender-based violence that are well documented. And so they left the best workplace to go to one of the worst workplaces. And so last year, that was one of our messaging and our rallying cries to pressure Wendy's to come back to the United States, to join the Fair Food Program, not to go to a place where there's workers that are being abused, but to come to the best place and to join its competitors in changing this industry. Besides that, though, in a matter of sort of synchronicity, the farmworker women of the CIW in 2017 wanted to focus on the issue of gender-based violence in the fields, right? That stat that I gave earlier about 80% of farmworker women experiencing that.
Right.
They launched their Harvest Without Violence campaign, talking about how the Fair Food Program is virtually eradicating gender-based violence in the fields. And at that same time that this conversation was going, the national narrative started talking about Me Too and about Time's Up, and we started seeing Hollywood actresses speaking out about the abuse. No one could have planned that. It just happened. Those were the two messaging points: the gender-based violence, help us end this by joining the program, and also leave Mexico where all these abuses are happening. Now, last year, what that meant was a five-day fast outside of the offices of the board chairman of Wendy's in New York City in 30-degree weather, where close to 100 farmworker women, men, faith leaders, and students fasted, calling on Wendy's to join the Fair Food Program to eradicate gender-based violence from its supply chain and to come back and join the Fair Food Program. On the final day, they were joined by over 2,000 allies in New York City for an enormous march that happened and put a lot of pressure on them. And so at that time, we saw a few months later, Wendy's reacted to this. Well, actually, a couple of days after the march, they went on national publications and said that the CIW was essentially co-opting the Me Too and Time's Up movement for personal gain.
Right. I believe they said as much in a letter they addressed to our conference minister.
Right, exactly. That they were co-opting the Me Too and Time's Up movement. Essentially, it's leading us to understand that farm worker women have no role to be speaking about gender-based violence, which is ridiculous and very much shows how out of touch as a corporation they are. Right. But what that ended up happening was it launched a storm. Eve Ensler, Alyssa Milano, Amy Schumer, and popular media started criticizing Wendy's for saying this. And some of these Me Too and Time's Up leaders started saying, hey, hold on a second. CIW has been doing this for 25 years. They've been talking about gender-based violence for 25 years. So not only are they totally able to talk about Me Too and Time's Up, they're leaders within it because they're eradicating it in their industry. So don't, you know, tell these women what they can and can't talk about, because obviously they're changing their entire industry. Mm-hmm. And that was a really powerful moment. And it was what we see, what led Wendy's to announce in their shareholder meeting that they were going to leave Mexico and come back to the United States, but instead purchase from greenhouses here in the U.S. and refuse to join the Fair Food Program.
Wow. That is so much in terms of both so much history condensed and also so many thoughts, so many movements, and so many developments. I want to acknowledge that too, because one thing, and I have no basis for this aside from the fact that it happens to us all over the world all the time, the becoming desensitized because the issue has lasted so long. So, and what mm-hmm. you're sharing, the reality that things are changing, regressing and progressing, sometimes one, sometimes the other, and sometimes you could argue a little bit of both. There are things that have been happening. I mean, in a sense, the conference's involvement in the Wendy's program, and again, the conference as a whole does not do much, but many churches of the conference, many leaders within the conference, many ministers within the conference have been active for a long time. And some might even say, why are we still doing this? Isn't this over? Didn't they sign, or didn't we? Was that Taco Bell? Was that Wendy's? And so to know that, I think two things, to know that the struggle is not over is important to note, but to also recognize that the effects of the efforts, the results of the confrontation are showing.
Oh, definitely.
And that leads us to here. So, lest we think that the struggle has been the same, for this entire time, perhaps you could answer that yes and no. But where are we at now? So you're in Gainesville, and what are you doing?
Yeah. So first, before we move on, though, I do want to say a comment. I think, as people of faith, I think we understand that patience is one of a really big virtue that we're called on to have. And I know that at this moment, in society, it seems that there are so many things going and so many instances where we can throw our hats behind and show our support. And some we've been able to win and some often we're losing. But I think the work of the CIW is one of the premier examples of how patience and perseverance can change an industry from night to day. I mean, you go to Immokalee Workers in a place in Florida that maybe a lot of people in Florida don't even know that Immokalee exists. Mm-hmm. A place where they was known as ground zero for modern day slavery, to changing that to now being the best workplace in the agricultural industry in 25 years is amazing. I think the perseverance and, if anything, the faith to be able to think and to want to change the conditions. Often one of the farm workers, when they share their story, they say that back when they were going to take on Taco Bell, people used to think, you're crazy. None of the, like, no corporation, you know, no multi-billion dollar corporation is ever going to listen to the Immokalee workers. You're just some workers from a small town. No one knows you. But to see that not only were those crazy workers right, but that they've been able to do it 14 times goes to show, I think, a lot of the power and that perseverance that is necessary for a movement. And I think that that's really valuable. But I think in terms of what is happening right now, so right now the Fair Food Program is protecting over 40,000 workers in 7 states. We started in Immokalee, Florida. Now we're up to Georgia, North and South Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, all the way up to Jersey. We're expanding the program to Texas, to the watermelon industry. We're not just tomatoes anymore, to green peppers. We're going into green peppers and strawberries and watermelon industry because we know that there's still tens of thousands of workers in the United States and hundreds of thousands of workers across the world that need their rights to be protected. And so we're in an expansion moment, really. And so the campaign with Wendy's right now is what we see the next step towards expanding this, right? Now our dream has come into fruition, right? We are changing the agriculture industry. Now we know that it's possible, but now we need to expand this dream to protect more and more workers. And that's what we're doing. So with the Wendy's campaign, at this moment, what we see is that we need to hit them where they care most. And that is in their pockets. And that is with the where they invest most of their money. And at that moment, at this moment, Wendy's invests significant amount of monies in college and the NCAA and universities. They spend millions upon millions of dollars advertising to the youth, to millennials, to the newer generations, so that they purchase fast food, that they see Wendy's as their preferred fast food of choice. And so that's the moment we're at right now, is that we're going to 4 of the top institutions in the country, the University of Florida, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, OSU, Ohio State University, and the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, to pressure these institutions and to organize with students, with faith communities, with the broader community, to demand that these institutions do business and live up to the messages that they share in their mission statements, right? Which is that they want to do a greater good beyond just their classroom halls, but for the greater community. Well, this is a way to do that good, expanding it to farm workers. And so that's the main focus. Now, what that means in a more tangible way is the 4 for Fair Food Tour. So March 2nd through the 14th, workers from Immokalee will be taking a tour to all 4 of these cities, starting with North Carolina, then to Columbus, then Ann Arbor, Michigan, and ending here in Gainesville on March 14th. That tour is going to be having all sorts of actions, bringing around all sorts of community to put that pressure on them.
Hmm. Okay. Lots said there, and I don't want to step on it, but particularly for me, as I represent and work with the Churches of the Florida Conference, knowing that we're ending here that final 12th, 13th, and 14th of March. What are some things that we could be doing in our churches first to begin to show support for the 4 for Fair Food Tour?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think, well, the first thing is that we have some faith leaders and lay leaders and congregants who are creating a group that was going to be outreaching to different UCC congregations to hop on buses that are going to be taking the day trip to Gainesville. So taking the 1-day trip on the day of the 14th. Mm. Now, I think the most beautiful, and I think, now I may be biased in this way, right? Because I want you to come out. Mm. I think truly the most beautiful and powerful experience, and anyone in the UCC who has been with CIW and has supported CIW knows, is the space and the community that comes about when you share space and community with CIW. I mean, it's beautiful. You got the kids running around. You got the justice. You got the dignity. You got the art. You got knowing that you're on the right side of history and that you are putting your faith into practice, I think, is the most beautiful thing to do. And so I think that's one way that you can support. It's coming here, hopping on those buses and taking the trip to Gainesville for that one day. The second thing is, if you're unable to make it, is to support by having by pitching in to fund maybe the trip of someone else, right? So if you can't go, you can't march, but you know someone who else who can, help them get on that bus, help them fundraise to get on that bus and pay for their seat. I think that's one way. The third way I think is, in terms of congregations, it's speaking about CIW during your services, during your liturgy. We've got a really great ally with Wesley, Wesley Snedeker, who's at Fort Myers UCC, who's actually creating some awesome readings for us and some great liturgy that can be shared. And I'm sure Neil will do a great job of linking it to this. Sure. Anyone who wants to access that stuff, I think that's I think bringing in the community, having them in your prayers is important. And I think if you're the kind of congregation, and God knows if you've been supportive of CIW, you probably are, that wants to do a mobilization from afar, that is, you want to go do a letter drop off at your local Wendy's, you want to go do a local pray-in at a local Wendy's with your youth group, with your whatever group, you can do that from afar in solidarity with what's happening on March 14th.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for that. I've been struggling for whether or not it was appropriate, struggling to decide whether or not it was appropriate to share a bit of personal experience. And that's to allude to the opportunity I had to tour the offices of the CIW. And to see several things. First, kind of the ads and the signs and the logos that have been used for the various campaigns, even the campaigns against those corporations that have signed on, the significance of them still being held almost now as a piece of art or artifact in a museum to recognize the struggle that was, and the hope it gives us to recognize there was a struggle that was, even next to a struggle that continues to be. I think it might be appropriate to our conversation because to walk past the articles on the wall that talk about the different communities that gathered for one cause one time or another, I think it's important. And so when we hear you ask for presence, I think it's important. Obviously, it's a logistical component that says to those that are there on the universities in this case, this is not just an issue to the families of those who have members in the fields. This is mm-hmm. not just an issue to the farm worker community. This is an issue to Christians. This is an issue to educated consumers who happen to be Christians and conscious of a neighbor who is being affected poorly and oppressed and treated unfairly. But I think there's a second piece of presence that I'd just like to repeat that you said. You said so much, and I don't mean to step on it by repeating it, but I hope we hear this. And that's to say our presence matters to those that are standing already, to say you are not standing alone. We don't look the same. We don't even necessarily live the same in some ways, but we're working to recognize that. We're working to change that. And in the very real sense, we stand here with you because we care. And the difference between that and perhaps saying, that was an unfortunate, wow, that 4 out of 5 women in the fields being abused and harassed, that's unfortunate. I hope that our listening doesn't stop there, and that we figure out ways to share presence for those of us that have the day and the means to travel. For those that have the day and don't have the means, please hear us. We'd like to connect with you and help make the connection. But even for those that don't have the day or the means, let's continue conversation about what it means to be present with brothers and sisters.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you brought in that personal touch. I think that's always an important thing with CIW. Anyways, it's how it touches people's hearts and changes that reality and has something to give too. You know, just earlier I was on a phone call with someone who wanted to do an art exhibit about, you know, some photography about the history of the CIW. And I mentioned to her that right now, back in the 90s, Jim might be able to tell you this, Jim Bowler. there was a march that happened where I think there was a little over 60 farm workers who marched hundreds of miles here in Florida. And what they did is that they created a paper mache Statue of Liberty. And that paper mache Statue of Liberty was a brown woman of color. And instead of that candle that, you know, the Statue of Liberty is known for holding, it was a tomato. Mm. And that art piece, I think, is so powerful and so to the point in terms of what the coalition is all about. It's about, we are human. We are not machines. We work hard. We deserve respect. We deserve dignity. And all we want is fairness and justice, and that everyone has access to that and should have access to that. And so I think that, you know, just to bring in that imagery, I think it's really, really beautiful in terms of, you know, just the inspiration and the art and the community that comes about.
So we're talking about several things. We're talking specifically about an action in Gainesville on March 14th. Correct. But if you hear what's going on and you feel compelled to be a part of the movement or a part of the conversation, please don't decide now whether or not you are useful to the conversation or useful to the cause. Please reach out through your passion, through your voice, through your community, through your neighbor, through your art, and so on. There is a place for your voice. There's a need for your presence. And so how can we get in touch with you or who do we get in touch with?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, you can get in contact with me personally at 305-305-1212. You can get me on the phone. You can go on our website at the CIW-online.org. There's a little tab with contact information. You can call the offices. And you can reach out for many things. Often, you know, we can speak at mission moments. We've had if your congregation has that sort of thing, we have done presentations before or after a service, during the day, during, you know, weekdays. It doesn't matter. We are in the same state. We're in the same backyard, and we are more than open to traveling and going and connecting and creating a bridge between these two communities that are in sharing the same space, and therefore should be connected. And so I do put that call out to anyone. If you want us to travel to your Sunday service or to whatever service, you know, reach out to us. We'd love to come. Let us know in advance. We have, our summer is pretty much open. Our fall is pretty much open. We'd love to come to your congregation. We'd love to speak. We'd love to join you for coffee hour and do all of those things to start that community and to teach, you know, to show and to teach about the work of the CIW.
Yes, and we have some opportunities coming down the months to the CIW and URL. You've agreed to help host the program for our middle and high school fall retreat in the fall, and we've talked about getting some details together to have a second clergy gathering in Immokalee. So if the conference staff can help connect, not in place of reaching out to Uriel and the CIW, but to also help make you and your church aware of what the conference is doing as a conference in partnership, we'd be more than happy to answer that, or at least get you in touch with Jim Buller and Bernice Powell Jackson, who really, as you've acknowledged, have done so much to help drive that. And frankly, if we're not doing enough in your eyes, then drop us an email too, and let's coordinate. Let's get working. Uriel, I have so much to thank you for. Thank you for your time today in the midst of all the other things that you're doing to share. Thank you for the work that you and the CIW and the Alliance for Fair Food are doing. doing. Thank you for the opportunity to be in partnership with you and to experience our faith in action through such a wonderful and well-organized and impactful way. I'll leave it at that. It has been so good to talk with you, and we look forward to seeing you very soon.
Yeah, Neil, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I do want to mention this. I opened my Bible the other day, and I saw this verse that really resonates with me. And just to give you some context, and Neil knows this, you know, I grew up evangelical Latin, and you know, from Latin America, I used to go to church about 4 or 5 times a week. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot about church and a lot about theology and all that stuff in terms of how it, you know, the background and how it affects me. But this verse really stood up to me. I mean, I think it really embodies what I see from the United Church of Christ, which is a church that's very different from the one I grew up in. Often mine tended to be a little bit more conservative and said, or if anything, was often in the wrong side of history instead.
Wow.
This verse, I think, really does capture the essence of what it is to be someone who says they're Christian. And I think the essence of what I've seen people who are UCC and support the CIW. And it's Galatians 6:2. And it reads, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. I think that is the essence of what it is to be a Christian. I think it is the essence of what it is to be, put the word and the gospel of Christ into action and into the world. And I think that's what UCC has been doing it. And has been doing it along with CIW. And all we're doing here today is inviting more people to do that with us.
Wow. And amen. Thank you for that. And, look forward. We are better every time we gather with you all. So thank you again for the invitation and the conversation today.
Thank you.
Okay, there it was. Pretty amazing man, right? Seriously, I would encourage you in any way you find exciting or even possible to engage Uriel in more conversation with you and the people that you're around. He's a wealth of passion and ideas and information, and would be as beneficial to you as perhaps you and your partnership might be to him and the Fair Food Alliance. We've got work to do, church. Reach out to Uriel. You can find him at ciw-online.org or shoot me an email in our conversation following the interview. Uriel mentioned that he's already been in contact with 5 churches in the conference that are planning on organizing and at least in a small number heading up to Gainesville. So if you'd like to join us, please shoot me an email with questions, concerns. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Hey, we gotta talk.